Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome to the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. We are approaching a great family time of year, and so that got us thinking about leading in our families. We often talk about on our episodes here leading in our organizations, but I think that probably more important than leading an organization, Greg, is probably being a leader inside of our family.
Yeah, I think both of us have experienced personally. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other part is we've seen it in others where home life is not good, not strong. Doesn't mean, you know, there aren't ripples in the water at home. But if you're coming to work or coming to your organization and you're really worn out from home, it's very tough to lead at work. And you have, I'm sure you got some examples.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think home should be the sanctuary where you can let down your guard and you can truly get replenished, recharged, and then you can come back to the workplace. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a place where you're getting more depleted.
Right. Yeah. I had a mentor. I think you know who it is. It's William Abney, the pastor from the inner city, one of the bigger churches, and just a perennial leader. Mm-hmm. I think he was in leadership as a church pastor 65 years. Like, wow. But one thing that I remember him telling me regarding the balance of work and life and how important home is if you're going to go to work, home has to send you well or work won't go well. Absolutely. And his quote was, "I've been at the bedside of many dying people and no one has regretted working more." Yeah. Like they want to work less. Yeah. They want to spend more time with people. And so they don't really at that point have a chance you know, to reflect, Craig. And I think that's maybe one of our challenges today.
Yeah, I mean, because the bottom line is, I mean, I think a lot of times our work is going to come and go. And you know, if you're a hero at work, but you've invested so much there that you have nothing to give at home, what have you really gained that is a lasting legacy?
Do you think that some of us, and maybe this is a great question for our audience, do you think some of us derive or put more weight to the, hey, I did a good job at work today versus I did a good job with my kids today or with my spouse today or with my neighbors today or my own health at home today?
Sure.
Seems like it's alluring, you know, to want to be that amazing worker,
right?
You know?
Well, I think that, you know, in my book, Shepherd Leadership, that's really the thrust behind that subtitle of the metrics that really matter. I think that some people, they only feel successful if they can measure it, if they can look at it. When you're in the middle of like parenting kids, it's not like you say, hey, here's the progress we made over this last week. You know, my son, my daughter grew in this area by 13% over the last quarter. You know, you don't have those things. So I think that some people like to go to their work accomplishments. Because think about when you're at a party or a social function where you meet somebody, usually people say to you right up front, they're like, what do you do? They want to know, you know, like, and you're like, well, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a, you know, you go, that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear you say, well, I'm the president of, or I'm the director for, you know, our company does. And we're always looking for these things that are like tangible things. Like let's, you know, how can we measure those? And your relationships, whether they're kids, family, friends, there's not really a tangible way to measure that growth.
I won't speak of the person's name because I don't want to embarrass him, but I remember him sharing as he built his business and built his career, it was almost a badge of martyrdom. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working on about 4 hours sleep this week. I got some big projects, but they're going to hit.
Yep.
So what kind of dad were you? What? I worked till 10 o'clock at night. I haven't seen my kids in 4 days.
Yeah.
And it's such an alluring distraction.
Oh, sure.
I think for us leaders, that's what we got to protect, in my opinion, is the investment at home. I think one of your quotes is the hero at work, but a zero at home.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what we wish to be.
No.
You had a cool thing when you just signed up, became interviewing for your job now at Calvary Church. How you kind of told the board, this is how I need you all to know we work as a family.
Yep.
Share that.
Yeah, I told them, If you bring me on as your pastor, I will love this church and I will invest in this church. But next to my family, you're going to take a really distant second. I'm never going to have this thing like, oh, there's a church function and I got something with my kids at school. Which one am I going to do?
Ooh.
Because what I told them, I said, the bottom line is anybody could be the pastor at this church, but I'm the only one who can be Betsy's husband, and I'm the only one who can be my kid's dad.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do that.
Yeah.
And you could plug that in. It doesn't have to be, you know, the pastor of a church, but any place, any job, I hate to burst your bubble, but you are replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the job, somebody else can do our job, but back at home, nobody else can step into those roles the way that we can. And so I think that really helped me keep it in perspective. And then, you know, when your family sees that consistency, when there is a time where you say, hey, look, you know, in the case of my role as a pastor, somebody's in the hospital or a family member just passed away, you know, and I need to go conduct a funeral service. Your family understands those things.
Right, right.
You know, because you have made it such a priority, they understand when the things come up that can't be scheduled, and they give you the grace for that. But when it's constant, like, oh, I got to do this at work today, and they're like, well, yeah, we were kind of expecting that, then that's sad that it would be like that.
I had a client years ago. I think I've told you this story for the audience. This guy was just so insightful. He was a CFO, but very philosophical. And so at that time, I was just married, you know, we're going to, you know, have a child. And he's like, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I thought, oh, cool. You know, he's got five kids. He knows way more than I do. I don't know diddly. And so he goes, here's what we did. So I had my first child. I took copious notes, you know, how the pregnancy went, you know, what cravings his wife had, what were the sleep patterns. When the baby came, you know, what music worked, what were the routines, what was the, you know, the staging of play, you know, play toys and how they started to crawl and what things. Then that was, you know, baby one, put that book in the nursery. And then they were ready for their second baby. And his advice was take the book out and throw it away because it won't matter. I mean, the kids are just different.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's challenging at home.
Yes.
Whereas at work, we can kind of pick our teammates on a project and, she's a bell ringer. You know, she's amazing at organization or she's got some wonderful ideas or whatever. But at home, you're like, yeah, child one, child two. So like you have three children.
I have five now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. We won't talk about the older adults that are still kids, but, Ian's listening. So that's funny. So I think the fun part was you have different personalities but it's your home.
Yes.
I mean, you can't like, I don't want that behavior.
Right.
I mean, it's my kid.
You can't say, I don't want you on this project. You're
yeah, exactly. But when you're working, you can. And I think that's what's interesting for leaders is we get to pick our teammates.
Yep.
But in family, you don't. It's what you're given by God.
Yes.
You know,
And on purpose. And then I think, you know, I love one of my favorite Psalms that David wrote is Psalm 139. It's such a Psalm of intimacy. And he talks about how God knew him right from the beginning and knit him together in his mother's womb. I think that part of that fashioning process is that God foresees, he knows the spouse I'm going to have. He knows the personalities of the kids that I'm going to have. And so he's given me what I need to be an effective husband and dad with them, or, you know, to use our terminology, to lead. I think that, you know, a leader is not just the, you know, because like we've, I love this quote from Margaret Thatcher, you know, she said, being a leader is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And so I think it's the same thing, you know, at home, if you have to tell people, look, I'm the dad, and so I'm
in charge here.
This is what I say. Well, then you're really not. But you can lead by saying, let me set things up to help you be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you a prosperous path. Let me invest in you. God's given you all that you need to be able to do that, despite the personalities that are going to be in those different people.
I wrote down a couple quotes for our conversation. So one of them I thought was really kind of fun. You'll come to realize that what appears to be a sacrifice today will prove instead to be the greatest investment that you've ever made, your family.
Yes.
And for us business people, we like ROI.
Yeah.
You know, we like measurements, metrics. You know, are we get better than last year?
Yep.
You know, are we getting more customers than last year? Are members happy? But it's so easy to look past the investment. One of the habits I think we should share is like what we've done as dads, husbands and dads, but with regards to our kids, one of the things that has been funny, so Lexi will probably like this. This is my older daughter, and we used to do daddy-daughter dates early. I would open the door. I decided to introduce chivalry to her at a very young age.
Absolutely.
We'd go to the donut store. We'd go get flowers. We just did things dad-daughter, like one-on-one. Later on, now in her 20s, she's like, Dad, you really made it tough. And I thought, how did I make it tough? Well, these boys just aren't measuring up.
That's right.
And I think that's our challenge as leaders of our home. What do we present and what traditions, what legacy are we working on? And speak to legacy.
Well, I think that is so huge. And you know what? That you should wear that as a badge of honor that the bar was set so high because Lexi is an amazing young lady and she shouldn't compromise in any of those areas. But I think that all of us, the baton has been handed to us.
Yeah.
And it may have been handed poorly because some of us, we might have had parents and a home life that was not very conducive and wasn't nurturing. But we are going to have to hand that baton to somebody else. And so we have to decide how are we going to do that? How are we going to set up our children and our children's children for future success? Yeah. And so you and I were talking for a few minutes before the camera started rolling.
Our banter.
Yes. About people that just don't want to accept personal responsibility.
All right.
And I think that it's a cop-out for some people. They're like, well, I never had that modeled for me in my home, so that's why I'm no good at it now. No, you can learn. You can make some improvements. You can step into those roles. You can expand in those areas.
Yeah.
And so we've got to, regardless of how the baton was handed to us, I want to hand it off better to my kids going forward.
In a relay, you're speaking of a baton. In a relay, you have to give the same baton you got.
Mm-hmm.
In life, you don't have to.
Right.
In leadership, you don't have to.
Right.
You can create your own baton.
Right.
You can pass on something different.
Far better. Right.
Better, improved, maybe more appropriate to your family versus, and I'm thinking like generations, you know, there's traditionals, boomers, Xers, millennials, and now Zs. And they're different value systems, and there's different things that are priorities to them.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of cool to watch with the different generations is what was important and how they parented. But you're right, the consequence or like, I don't want to call it a cop out, but it is sort of excusing behavior or lack of investment.
Yep.
Speak to legacy. What do you try to accomplish at home? Not special days like holidays or birthdays, but maybe making the regular day special. How do you do it?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked before about leaders that we can't give to other people what we don't possess ourselves.
Right.
And I remember when Harrison, my firstborn, was born. I remember that first moment holding him. The emotion that I felt at that moment, I could feel like this mantle of responsibility on my shoulders. And I realized, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this on my own. And it was, I had to make a decision right then of what I was going to do. And if you go back and look, I've for years written down in a journal, like when I'd read my Bible in the morning. And prior to Harrison being born, the dates were very sporadic and inconsistent. And the thing, you know, it was just happening there then, you know, every once in a while. But from the day he was born forward to this day, there's scarcely any days that are missing because I realized I have to go back and if I'm not getting godly wisdom in my life, I have nothing to give to my kids or my wife or other people. Mm-hmm. I have to have a good source coming in. And so I've tried to set that as my legacy is to just say, look, I don't have all the answers, but I want to go back to the source as often as I can to get the answers from the place that I know is the answer.
Yeah.
And so that one, that permeates through everything. It's not just about creating traditions. It's about the foundation that you can create your own tradition off of that. You can create, you know, every family now, you know, my kids, as they develop their own families, and they can develop their own traditions, their own things. But I wanted to give them that foundation on which to launch from.
Parents, you were speaking of spouse or kids. And I think both of us now have aging parents. And that's another addition to us leaders. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to help parents. It's now reversal role, right? You know, they invested in us, they sacrificed, they invested, they sacrificed, they invested, they sacrificed. And it probably was a mundane repeat, like Groundhog Day, right, over and over. But now is our chance. And I think that's the other part is, you know, giving yourself the margin, giving yourself the priority time to kind of figure out, yep, I'm going to, for this window, I'm going to set this aside. It's what I like to do, but what I should do is this. And so I think that's another add is, I would say, you know, parental care, which is something, you know, for some leaders, it's down the road. And for some, we're present. We're living in it now, right?
Absolutely.
With regard to epitaph, like, you know, your legacy, like what you want to be known as, here's a quiz for you. If you had a chance to have like one word put on your epitaph or your tombstone or your, you know, funeral, you know, program, whatever, what word would you love to have your family, your home say about you?
I probably, present. He was there.
Okay.
He was there for us.
Do you recall, because my mind is not as good as yours, it's just a couple months older, laugh. What was the leader, who was the leader that said, I've decided that leadership really isn't defined as, you know, curriculum, credentials, it's just be present. Who said that? Did Lencioni or Maxwell maybe say that? I love that one. Like he just, forget it. Forget pedigree. Forget whatever it is. It's just be present. Because if you're not present, it's impossible to lead.
Well, I will. Let me.
You're gonna find it out for me.
Well, no, but I'm gonna. I hope not. I hope not embarrass my youngest son, Brandon.
Oh, this is good. People listen. This is good.
He was in fourth grade, and I had been rather busy. I was traveling a lot at this time. And he had to write a poem for class. And he wrote this. My dad's out of town. I feel alone. I'm feeling really down. He can't reach the phone. All of a sudden, the phone rings. My heart sings. I pick up the phone. He said, only one more day. And in his voice was a great tone. He said what I wanted him to say. One more time of sleep. And then he's here to keep.
Ooh, I love that, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
And you didn't do it.
Right.
They did it.
Right. I want to be there to keep.
Right.
That they know.
That's a heck of a poem, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, readers, if you want that poem, Greg can send it to you. So the epitaph, so it would be, you know, present.
Yeah.
I think, you know, most people in a home setting, could be family, could be friends who, you know, you're helping, or could be elderly parents, whatever. I think what's cool about legacy is it's their saying it.
Yes.
Not what, and I kind of set you up with what word, but it is important to have kind of a goal in mind for us leaders. You know, if we want to be a leader in our home, in our family,
right,
it starts there.
Yep.
I could go to the office and have 100 people follow us around, but that can come and go.
Right.
You know, the company can be sold, people can leave, you know, but the family, that's the unit that stays strong. And I think for kids in particular, consistency, presence, sure, investment, you know, so Lexi's a missionary in Guatemala. And one of the things that she almost always writes, that I can feel your support and cheerleading me. Thanks. Cause it's, you know, it's a pit of a day. It's a dark day down here. You know, it's whatever she's struggling in or whatever it is. And it's tough work she's doing. So it's interesting cause I can't say, I want to encourage you today.
Right.
It's just doing it like you did. And that's what he missed was I need that dude in my home. You know, I need that woman. I mean, my mom. And I think that's fascinating as we set legacy during the holidays, particularly, and we're coming up on another year. And I would really challenge our listeners to write down what they want that year to be.
Yes.
Versus just let the year go.
Right. Right.
Any suggestions?
Well, yeah, I think that especially now, as you know, we're this episode's going to come out near Christmas time. I think a lot of you are going to be with family, and you know, there's sometimes during that family season, there's some camaraderie, there's some fun times. Use that as the launching point. You know, say if this is what I want. And then like Greg said, I love that idea of like, come up with a theme or come up with some goal words or some target, ideas for this upcoming year. And you don't have to wait until the next holiday get together. You can begin to create that with your family all the time. We'd love to be able to help you with that. If you want to ask us some questions and get some insight, but we'd also love to hear from you as well. So you can reach out to us, you can tweet at us at Maximize Podcast. You can go on to MaximizeLeadership.com and reach us there, or just leave a comment below on this video and tell us what you're doing. What are you doing to lead your family? What goals are you setting for the upcoming year? We'd love to be able to hear that from you as well. We look forward to this upcoming year making more investments in you, but we just challenge you. Be a leader at home and watch and see how that energizes your leadership everywhere else that you go. Have a great Christmas and Happy New Year.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.